we drive on Siren FM. Celebrate that Wednesday wonder with style!
Splendid. Okay, moving on. Cameron, so much to pack into the show. It automatically needs to, you know, go straight to your good self to actually go to something which ties in with Tara Bennett, of course, who in the current edition of SFX magazine has written all about Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, and what should Hip Kitty have actually chosen as an inspiration to actually develop their whole sort of sequence on, but The Joys of Mockingjay Part 1. Isn't that spooky? Isn't that really, really spooky in its own way that you've sort of put that whole thing together? I'm kind of smiling because I just realised that Emma's brought the set of headphones which are curiously tied up into all sorts of knot-like forms here. So really, if we had the web camera on, you'd have a whole new experience to sort of take your way through. As it is, I'm just going to have to talk and fill, and you, Cameron Tilbury, are going to have to go through a wonderful introduction all about Hip Kitty. Even the name sounds wonderful and magical in its own routine, and it's the first of several connections that all internet can connect with your good self. Cameron, the floor and the airwaves are yours.
Thank you. Hip Kitty, good friends of ours here in Nashville, and really talented rockers, and a lot of people don't necessarily associate Nashville with rock music, but we've got it and got plenty of it, and we love it too. As I said, brand new music from our friends Hip Kitty. This song is called Smile Pretty on Siren FM.
I knew you'd say that. I knew you'd say that so perfectly well. And I really thought I would have been able to actually press the buttons to actually gone straight through to the whole thing. So, you know, worry not. You know, it's like a time zone. It's going into our routine. We have got a friend of Bookstart Burr in the studio, have we not? A friend of Bookstart Burr. Obviously not the Bookstart Burr, because, you know...
No, he's real.
He's very true. Yeah. So she's smiling pretty. Emma's smiling pretty. Jessica's smiling pretty. Sue's smiling pretty. I think it's Hip Kitty. J-Law, as she's referred to by the hipsters amongst us, Jennifer Lawrence, really grooving out to that as Katniss Everdeen. Oh, is it evergreen? Hunger Games, a classic choice. But as you know, Cameron, this is the critical time because it's not just what I think. It's what Tarina thinks, with an A, not an E. Tarina Jones, what do you make of Hip Kitty?
I really like Hip Kitty. Oh. Yeah, it sounded really good. It sounded kind of got a sort of element of Evanescence in there, I felt.
Yes, it's available on iTunes now. And you can like Hip Kitty on Facebook. I might actually do that myself. It got 39,477 likes.
Oh.
Considerably more than Chris Moyles. But then again, understandable.
Who?
He's in LA these days, looking quite sad and forlorn, as Sue will attest to because of the seminar we did earlier today. Jessica, what did you make of Hip Kitty?
I also liked it. It was really intense. Oh. I thought that was really good.
Intense.
Very intense.
Like an Indian teepee. Who has actually arrived? It's Holly Parker's arrived.
It's fun.
Holly has arrived. She's staying as well. She's taking off her camera, and this is good. It's smooth. The coat is being removed. So we'll find a chair as well. She could have the major chair there, which is a very serious big chair. But maybe she just, who knows?
She's gone straight for it.
She has. She has clearly. She's gone clearly for that. Emma, what did you make of Hip Kitty?
I thought it was quite good, actually. I'm not massively into my grunge music, but that was quite, like, it wasn't a really downer grungy music. It was quite upbeat as well, so I quite liked it.
I don't really see Hip Kitty as grungy. Do you
no,
see them?
I suppose more like rock, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah,
I like it.
Certainly
though.
Rock elements there, you know, almost sort of rock star romance, you might actually say. Semi-promotion there for Nikki Wells next to the Christmas book that's coming through, but we'll talk about that at another time. Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Hip Kitty.
I said it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's been a long week for all of us. But yeah.
Hysteria is beginning to kick in with our New Zealand correspondent. No panic. Call security. what did you make of the tune?
The tune. Yeah, like Emma said, it was quite a beat, which I enjoyed
good.
As well.
Excellent. Sue Rice, Hip Kitty.
Yeah, she's. I like her voice. Yeah. She's got that Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath-y type sound in that.
Except,
in the squawking in the background.
She don't take animals and bite their heads off.
No, she doesn't. No. And I really like the bass. The bass of the guitar was fantastic. Mm. I could really quite have got into that.
Yeah. Holly Parker, what did you make of Hip Kitty?
I didn't hear
what you said. We are too busy shifting furniture around, as good MA graduates will actually do. We'll coordinate the whole rest of bits and pieces. I think it's a thumbs up, though, Cameron, for your good self and Hip Kitty. Coming up. Now, are you happy with that, Cameron? Has that sort of placated you? Good. It's fine.
Yeah, I think they'll be happy too. They're listening.
Well, we'd like to say, from the collective team of the Midweek Drive, all six of us that we've actually got, we'd like to say hello, Hip Kitty. After three. One, two, three.
Hello, Kitty!
Yay! Fans that they all need. Brilliant stuff. Okay, Cameron, Hannah Bethel is coming up next on the demand, at the command of Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward, because last week when they were doing their wonderful stuff on the show and I was getting apologetic text messages from Holly Parker saying, sorry, I can't make it again.
That's
the important thing. Okay, settle down. Fortunately, you said, so good. You need to actually talk to her in person.
She was, and we're really excited, aren't
definitely,
we?
Definitely, yeah.
Sue Rice is also excited. She's seen the videos.
I have. Yeah. Yeah. And I listened to some of the stuff this afternoon.
It's really good.
Yeah.
We will be speaking live to Hannah Bethel. Sure. HannahBethel.com in a matter of moments after, curiously enough, Hannah Bethel and Refrigerator. But first, what are the last two questions we need to put to Cameron Tilbury? Tarina.
I had a good telephonic experience today.
Yes.
Cameron. Hello?
Hello.
Anybody there?
Yeah, come on. Hold it together, Tarina. Remember, Bookstart Bear might be listening.
Oh, we could be. Did you have a good telephonic experience today, Cameron?
Yes, I did.
Oh, fantastic. And would you like to join us again?
We'll be back next week.
Fantastic.
Didn't even hear you coming. Your supper on the counter, about as lukewarm as the last time. Last time we kissed.
Do you know, there's just so much good stuff when it comes to Hannah Bethel. It's impossible to know where to start. I mean, we could just fill the entire show with Hannah Bethel material and still be totally enjoying the whole sort of magical magicness that is Hannah Bethel. And guess what? Hannah Bethel's online at present. Hannah, how are you?
I'm great. Alex, how are you?
Delighted to speak to you, good self. And as we said to Cameron Tilbury a few moments ago, it was partially thanks to the work of Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward, who insisted
we
played Refrigerator last week in Cameron's Choice that we featured you on the show. And so I can formally introduce you to Emma Tinson.
Hello.
And Jessica Ward.
Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah. We'll be introducing you to Sue Rice and Tarina Jones and I was going to say Holly Parker there for the moment, and it is Holly Parker. But anyway, listen.
Too many people.
I realise that we've got a whole range of things there. We thought Refrigerator was fantastic, but there was a bit of an issue, which I must admit I raised, and Emma, would you like to
There
just,
was an issue?
Yeah, an issue.
Wait.
As in title. Yes.
I know, yes. Yeah. Okay, it's called Refrigerator. Yes. But we don't get that. Like, why is it not refrigerator?
Exactly.
I mean, we love it.
I guess
we love it.
We kind of, I guess in the US you could say refrigerator or refrigerator or just fridge for short.
Where, you know, fridge wouldn't scan. You know, you wouldn't have that sort of delicate stuff if it was just fridge on the whole thing. You know, refrigerator, it's great. It's just fantastic stuff.
It worked better for the rhyme scheme.
Yeah, it's generally been agreed by the six of us in the studio, probably seven or eight by the time we wrap up the show today, who knows, that everybody loves your website. I mean, Sue Rice, you just thought the website's wonderful, did you not?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I generally sort of try and take a bit of a scout about to see who we're going to be talking to, but I spent far too much time on it.
Let's not beat around the bush here, Hannah. What Sue means is she likes to check out the interviewees before they actually come on air. It's very laudable.
It's
doing research. You know, it's very important. Sometimes she says, I can't possibly do that with Gary Barlow again. It's just
I wish.
Take that singer. Actually, it's nice to actually know from the perspective of yourself, Hannah. Do you actually sort of know who Gary Barlow is?
No, I do not.
Excellent.
Wow. I knew it.
Do yourself a favour, Hannah, and go and find out who he is.
No. I stay with your particular sort of... It's fantastic. That's, you know, you just, your cultural credibility has shot up through the roofs. Jessica, questions from New Zealand's perspective, from your Isle of Man days to Hannah Bethel. Because nice international link here. Over to you, Jessica.
Okay, I just want to say first, I love your album title, Never Ending Sky. I think that's so nice.
It's very sweet, isn't it?
Just what challenges have you faced creating your music in general?
Oh my gosh, all kinds of challenges. This record, Neverending Sky, it's been about a year since we had our very first pre-production meeting until we finally released it, and this has actually been the most challenging record I've ever made. We had a lot of songs to choose from. We had probably 50 or 60 songs from my catalog that we had to narrow down to the eight that we selected for the record. And it was just one of those things where I felt like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. So it took us a lot longer than we anticipated to make the record. But in the end, I feel that just made it that much more gratifying to finally finish it and to finally have this product that I'm really proud of and that I feel is a really great representation of who I am as an artist and as my heart as a person.
It's just sensational stuff. Sue, you've got a range of questions, which we'll have to squeeze in a couple because we want to feature some more music from Hannah as well. So off you go.
I have, yeah, but I'm going to go right back to the start. In your reading, in your biography, at 14, you picked up a guitar from your younger sister, which I thought was really cool that she ditched it and you picked it up.
It's very kind. Uh-huh. So she's polite. That's the important thing.
Yes, exactly.
Other people this side of the pond would have actually said, pick up your own guitar.
When you could have gone for any genre that you wanted, rock, pop, you know, all the other genres you could have picked up with a guitar, what was it about the country music genre that really appealed to you that made you follow it on?
Well, I grew up listening to all the great women of country music. So Patsy Cline, Tammy Wynette, Reba, Faith Hill, Shania Twain, all those lovely ladies. And I loved the storytelling aspect of country music, and I also am totally obsessed with the steel guitar. It's one of my favorite just sounds on the planet. And it was just a very natural choice for me. I never really considered making any other kind of music. I listen to all kinds of music, and I'll write all genres, but when it comes to what comes most naturally to my spirit, it's the country music.
Mm. So when you're talking about your writing, do you write all your own lyrics or do you collaborate? And if you do collaborate, who's been your favourite artist or producer to work with?
I do both. I write a lot by myself, and then I write a ton with other artists here in Nashville and all over the place. This past record, Neverending Sky, I worked with Brennan Hunt. He and I co-produced the record, and it was a lot of fun. He just has some amazing ideas. He's an incredible talent and a great songwriter himself. So I just loved working with Brennan.
Mm-hmm. You've been named by the CMA, the Close-Up Who's New to Watch, haven't you, recently? The question I was going to ask you really more than anything was, who do you watch? Who is it inspires you in your work?
I'm inspired by so much. I'm very easily inspired. It's a very emotional, passionate person. But right now, I'm on a big Patty Griffin phase. I've always been a big fan of hers, but lately I've just been listening to her nonstop. But as far as current country music, I love what Kacey Musgraves is doing. I love what Brett Eldridge is doing. And of course, Miranda Lambert is one of my favorite ladies over here in Nashville.
You know, I was thinking Casey Musgraves. Very good. Very good. In fact, we'll play some more Casey Musgraves as the show proceeds. Randy Reinholtz, actually, a big fan of Casey Musgraves, native voices at the Autry. Hannah, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us for a few moments, we need to feature a little piece of musical magic now, which Cameron Tilbury said you must feature this because it's electrifying when Hannah actually performs this live in all sorts of ways. Yeah, it's Tumbleweed. It's Hannah Bethel on Siren 107.3 FM.
Darling, there you are, rolling in again, warming up my morning like a long lost friend. Every time I see you dancing in the wind, I can't help but long for every place I've never been. My heart is tumbleweed with you, I'd go anywhere.
The phrase insufferably catchy. It's a personal favourite. It's great. It's a tumbleweed and Hannah Bethel. I think that deserves a round of applause. Come on. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, we'd have root beer, but obviously it's not legal in the Siren Studios for obvious reasons. We can't have inebriated presenters. We've just been asked.
We can try.
We're clear, Hannah, that thank the Lord you didn't know about Gary Barlow. But have you heard of Take That?
No.
Hey, you see, this is just getting better and
better.
Oh, no, I feel so out of the loop.
No, absolutely. I think you're getting it right time and time again. Emma, questions for Hannah about...
Yeah, I actually really loved that last sack.
Tumbleweed.
What was it called? Tumbleweed. That was really nice. I really loved that. It was really upbeat. And... I wanted to ask, because I really love the tone of your voice. Is that something that you've sort of developed over time, or has that always come naturally to you?
Thank you. I guess I've always naturally had a voice. as long as I can remember, I have always needed to sing. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just loved singing when I was a kid. I'd go outside and run around and just sing. Like, all the time, it's something about singing just makes me feel great. And as I got older, I have done some training. I trained classically for probably 5 or 6 years, and then I've also had a lot of training in commercial singing. So I've definitely had a lot of guidance on how to make my instrument better, but I guess it's kind of a natural tone. My voice has gotten kind of like... a little bit like smokier as I've gotten older, which is awesome.
And thankfully, without actually smoking, that's always good. Tarina, questions or thoughts for yourself?
Hang on. I've only got one earphone at the minute. Right. Hang on. I was wondering. With the likes of Taylor Swift, who sort of started out in country and then just like slowly moved into pop, do you ever see yourself sort of following that line, or do you think you'll stick with the country sound?
I would say that I probably will stick with country, but that's not, you know, who knows how I'll feel about music in 10, 15 years. And I think that you definitely don't want to put a restraint on yourself and what you want to be able to do creatively. But I don't see myself going so drastically into pop as Taylor has done.
Yeah, or indeed.
Which is awesome, by the way. I love her new record.
Well, it's all good. You know, it's, you might have heard of Taylor Swift, and I can understand that, whereas obviously Take That, why would you? And quite rightly so. Listen, we're gonna wrap up. I'm sorry, Sue, I know. But, you know, I've been wanting to get this out of my system for quite some time, and finally the day's arrived. Just don't get me started on One Direction. But in terms of the whole thing, before we go out with The Way Back Home, which is another absolutely classic Hannah Bethel choice, and Hannah Bethel number. Hannah Bethel number, you see. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your midweek drive debut, Hannah Bethel? That was a question, Hannah. You can answer it. Has it been okay for you?
Say it again?
Have you enjoyed the last few moments here on the midweek drive?
Oh, my my gosh, yes. Yay. Of course I have. I appreciate you guys supporting my music.
Wow. Yeah.
And I would love to meet you. So if you ever want me to come visit, just say the word.
I think the answer to the second question has just been sorted. We need to obviously get Hannah Bethel booked in Lincoln, England, as opposed to Nebraska, as soon as.
Yes, yes, please.
Definitely come over.
Hannah Bethel will return the way back home.
I don't know the way. I don't know the way back home. I don't know the way. I don't know the way back home. Quiet is the way you rest on me. Sweet and comfortable as an evening breeze. I can still
what happens if you rely on GPS, or maybe not. The way back home, Hannah Bethel. Let's put that question, or a question, as well as welcome to the show, to our ace SFX magazine editor, correspondent, and general all-round wonderful media phenomenon that is Tara Bennett. Tara, how are you, first and foremost?
Excellent. So nice to be back. Thank you.
Well, it's very good to have you back as well, even though with different time zones, you've lived in three of them over the last week or so. In fact, you're only 126 miles away from Lincoln, a matter of days ago.
I know. Yeah. I was so sorry not to see you. I feel like that tumbleweed in the song that you guys played a little earlier.
Yeah, yeah, there we are. So what did you make of the youthful, magical singer-songwriter Hannah Bethel?
She was lovely. I loved her voice. Her songwriting was really great. I always love being introduced to new musicians. So thank you for that this morning for me. Morning for me, afternoon for you.
Exactly. Now, in the next part of the program, Cellarscape will be featuring a certain Paul Terry, which is his little band. Yes, Paul Terry, musician as well. Big fan of your good self, and obviously co-editor.
And my co-writer, yes. Yeah. I love his music as well, so I'm happy to hear lots of wonderful music today on your station.
There you go. Moving on to the J-Law phenomenon, something that our film critic Richard Fitzwilliams will be talking about, The Rebellion Rises. Again, always nice to actually take quotes from your good self, Tara, from SFX Magazine, which, as I promised Richard Edwards, the new editor of SFX Magazine, I would give a little plug to the new online home of SFX Magazine, which is no longer sfx.co.uk. No, it's actually moved into a slightly different whole zone. And Tara, do you know the new online home of sfx.co.uk? Where can you find SFX Magazine on the web?
We do. We've done a little bit of merging and mushing about, so now you can find SFX and Total Film and Games Informer all on one site.
GamesRadar.com. /SFX or /Total Film. That's gamesradar.com. Okay, there we are. That's the branding done. You know, it's sufficient for obviously next year's Telefantasy and Society conference that we're running. Let's move on to The Hunger Games and, of course, Mockingjay Part 1. Are you looking forward to this, Emma Tinson?
I'm really looking forward to this. Oh. I know they're doing a midnight screening tonight here in Lincoln, but I'm not going to it because I have too much work to do. But as soon as I get a chance, I will go and see it. I'm really excited.
What about yourself, Holly Parker? Are you looking forward to Mockingjay Part 1?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, trying to arrange a day of work to go and see it.
And Tarina, Mockingjay Part 1?
Yes, I think so. Yes. I think I might make an effort.
Jessica Ward?
Oh, definitely. My flatmates and I are all trying to arrange a date where we're free.
Wonderful. And Sue Rice?
You see, now I'm going to be the fly in the ointment now. It's not
Never heard of them.
Hunger Games is not really my bag. I'm just not, it's not my thing.
No, take that.
But that said,
don't worry.
No. Not at all.
Gary Barlow's not
but,
in it.
Oh, he's not in any films. He did Heartbeat once, but that was me. Oh, he hated it. No, it's not really my thing, but I must say my 17-year-old stepdaughter will be extremely interested that this is on, and I have every confidence that she will be going to see it.
So, you've interviewed the director. Curiously, no relation, I think, to Jennifer Lawrence, or as you like to refer to, J-Law, the J-Law phenomenon. This would be Francis Lawrence. Was he a nice chap, Tara? I mean, should we actually welcome him to the film?
Yeah, he's really wonderful. Yes, they are not related. It's just circumstances that give them both the same surname. But this is the second time that I've talked to him, and he's really really thoughtful, really very even-tempered. You know, director, you kind of figure with him shooting these last two movies back-to-back and doing Catching Fire immediately into these last two films that he would be a little bit more tense, but he's actually just really lovely and always been a really wonderful visualist, and I think he's really done a wonderful job adapting these books into films, which I'm a fan of the books, and I'm a really big fan of what he's done with the films, so I, too, am very excited to see the film this Friday.
Oh, so you could, of course, fly over on a jet to Lincoln for the midnight screening, and, you know, you could actually sort of catch it there after your meeting at 10 a.m. in L.A. Get on the private jet.
I was supposed to see it last night, but I was on a plane, and that made me very sad. I couldn't see it last night, so I'll behave and see it with one of my best friends this Friday.
You'll see it when it is the right time for it to come to you and address all sorts of things. But you might think, is that, you know, obviously last time we spoke, we were talking about the Ghostbusters routine, and clearly there's a whole heap of other goodies with respect to Sons of Anarchy. Is it just a case of Hunger Games that you actually put, which might excite some of the midweek drivettes in the studio today? No, because allowing for our Disney package, you also have done a major feature with Georgina Haig, who you might well say, Emma Tinson, is Georgina Haig. And you probably think of it.
Yeah, Georgina, she's from Once Upon a Time, and she's actually Elsa in the live-action adaptation of Frozen, which they're doing on Once Upon a Time.
Frozen has gone live.
Let it go.
Let it go, let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
No.
Already.
Let me go.
Emma's flatmates are probably beyond excitement here.
Honestly, my flatmate Laura, she is absolutely obsessed with anything Disney. She actually tried to get a job at Disneyland. I think she might be still in the running for that, but it's really competitive apparently.
But you can't have a moustache, of course.
I have to say, she was really upset because she's too tall to be a Disney princess at Disneyland.
Really?
So if she wants to be a character, she'd have to be, like, Goofy or... Just because of the height. She's a bit tall. So she was really sad. So she won't be able to be Elsa.
Who would have thought that actually, you know, you'd have a heightist policy? I thought it was just for the rides.
Do you know what? Do you know who is the right height?
Oh, you!
I am so happy about that.
Clearly, you can see in casting terms alone, Tara, a whole new world has actually sort of opened up on this basis. Let's go to Holly. Holly, you've been sort of quiet on the show today, mainly because we haven't really brought you in because you're late arrival. That's basically it. That's the whole thing. But anyway, share with us your thoughts, because Holly, you went to a science fiction convention recently dressed in a particularly interesting costume. And bear in mind, Tara's
responsible. Sure everyone who listens to this show has heard this.
But Tara, hang on. Let's just test this. Tara, do you know what costume Holly Parker actually decided to use when she went to her first Comic-Con event a few months back?
No, tell me. I can't wait to hear.
The Salvador Dali painting, The Face of Mae West.
No, that's what I call left field.
That's beautiful. That's clever and smart. Super big kudos to you. Nicely done.
So you see,
Tara, no one got it.
Yeah, you went to the wrong event. You know, I'm sure at the NEC Birmingham, the MC Expo that Annette Andrew will be at this weekend, and a variety of other sort of folk, including possibly some of us from the Madrid Drive. You know, you wouldn't have that problem there. It'd be a completely different sort of situation. But anyway, any questions you want to put to Tara at this stage, Holly, about life, the universe, Sons of Anarchy?
Have you seen Interstellar yet?
I have, and I actually saw it in your wonderful country. I saw it at the BFI in London last week.
What did you make of it?
You know, I didn't dislike it. It just wasn't my favorite Christopher Nolan film. I unfortunately didn't really feel the emotional connection, which I think is what was really necessary with it. And by the last act, I felt like I was watching a physics class. It wasn't my favorite. It was not my favorite Nolan film, and felt a little bit of the iciest of all of his films, which he's accused of, which I've never really found. But in this one, I just really didn't get the emotional connection, which I think was key for you to love it. So unfortunately, it didn't really work.
To be fair, I think I didn't see any trailers before, and I thought, oh my days, this is going to be like Gravity. It's going to be absolutely naff. I'm not going to enjoy this because it's just going to be a load of, isn't space big?
I like Gravity. I thought it was good.
Not my cup of tea, although I do like sci-fi films. But I went in this and I hadn't seen any trailers. All I'd seen was a poster on the side of a bus. And I thought, I'll go to this. And actually, do you know, it was all right. I wouldn't watch it on telly, but I think for a film to see at the cinema, and especially if we went to an IMAX,
an homage to 2001, there's a whole range of things.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But the fact that we might have a slight teeny-weeny disagreement is forgiven totally by my good self, and others of course, Tara, because as I pull up your Facebook image, is that not the cutest little overbite ever? There we are.
That's a little E.L. James overbite, that. That's
me being a big dork. I usually don't ever have people ask me questions, so I figured that picture encapsulated how uncomfortable I was.
You've been obviously doing the tour with respect to showrunners, and DVD is going to be out soon. It's all fantastic stuff with obviously Des and the rest of the Des Doyle and so on. I mean, Paul Terry and 126 others just like the overbite. I mean, it's fantastic. You know, you look adorbs, says Zoe Van James. It's fantastic. But would you like to set the scene? When you got in the background of the Television Academy, what was your context? What was the context in which that photograph was obviously snapped? I presume it wasn't the pose.
I was doing the red carpet, believe it or not, for the West Coast premiere of Showrunners at the TV Academy, which is where they do the Emmys. And I couldn't believe anybody threw me at a reporter to answer anything because, you know, obviously the movie, it was about the film, and I was there as support as the moderator for that evening. But I was, so it was me being very incredulous, but it was a lot of fun, and it was a wonderful night for Des and the filmmakers because Showrunners was really received wonderfully, and we really had a really fun panel with seven of the showrunners featured in the book and in the film talking about the state of television, and that was really, it was really a highlight for me to be able to moderate that and be part of that.
So you see, it all works well in the first time. And of course you were there because you're one of SFX's finest editors. In fact, if I can just begin to wrap up, because obviously time is so tight and so precious these days, and meeting is worth through, obviously needs to quote the fantastic Rants and Raves, which I think should be a regular feature. And hopefully Richard Edwards will make it. Well, he is probably a regular feature, but featuring your good self, Tara. Your rant this time around, you went to the Gotham Constantine and... Or you want to like Gotham Constantine and Z Nation. That's just the way I slipped into the American vernacular as opposed to Z-Nation. Z-Nation. Okay, very important. But I'm underwhelmed. A slow start to the fall. Could be controversial. You know, Gotham, of course, working through in its own way.
I like Gotham.
I think it's certainly got its moments. And in fact, there's even a conspiracy theory that this month's SFX magazine actually refers to that suggests that Alfred might in fact be Bruce Wayne's father. It's a shocker.
Don't say that.
10 most mind-melding fan theories. The suggestion that Alfred might be Bruce Wayne's father.
That changes everything.
That's... No.
And on that bombshell...
If they just decide to do that, I will like the show a whole lot more.
I think I'd stop liking the show if they did that.
Exactly. Where do we go? Outrageous. Coming up in the next part of the programme, after the news, of course, we'll be talking to Brian Cooney all about the MCM Birmingham NEC Comic Con event. We've got Ed Fortune from Starburst Magazine and also the Leeds Thought Bubble Comic Event talking with us. Anna Lewis from Jersey and indeed Phil Leonis from Los Angeles, keeping us appraised of all sorts of things. Plus, of course, there's a competition to win Paul Terry's fantastic book, The Top 10 of Everything 2015. Sensational. As I'm sure you'd actually endorse, Tara, because obviously Paul Terry is a good friend of ours. So great stuff there. One of these days, yes, we'll get you on the same show. Tara Bennett, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on the programme today?
As always, yes.
Can we look forward to featuring you again in the very near future?
Yes, please. I'd love to be back.
Excellent. Tara Bennett will return. We've got 15 seconds, 14 seconds now. The countdown is just so exciting here. All I can say is you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. It's the Midweek Drive with a cast of a fabulous fivesome, a quintet of quality. All this and more following the news from the Siren News team at 5:45.